Hey, Steve, you got me fired up for happy hour when you're talking about the peanuts, the pickles, the wine, the beer. I'm ready. I'm ready, man. It's almost 5 o'clock.
I am, too. I say we start hoisting now.
I think that's a good idea. I got home on Tuesday from Indy, so I'm done for the tournament. So I don't even know why you want to talk to me other than we're buddies. But anyway, I'm done for a while. So I've been doing honeydew stuff, you know, the last couple days, and it's been fun. So happy hour is literally an hour and 25 minutes away.
You got that right. In fact, if not sooner. I want to ask you about a couple teams in there. You got a chance. Obviously, I had a chance to watch a lot of Luka Garza. You had a chance to see him as well. So what did you think when you finally got a chance to see him in person?
I think it was one of the highlights, actually. You know, he had a really good game in the game we did, and then he had an even better one the game before that. But for one thing, the last time I saw him play before the tournament, they played Illinois. And that big dude from Illinois is so massive that it made Luka look like he was kind of a, you know, small forward or something. And so when he got out on the court, I looked at Lavin and I go, God dang it, he's as big as I thought he was. And he goes, yeah, why didn't you? And I said, well, because the last time I watched him play, he looked like he was a small guy in the court. But he was great, and I got a chance. You know, we don't get a chance to talk to the guys in person this year and all that. But he walked out on the court, and we had a kind of an elevated spot where our booth was, and we had plexiglass all around it, and they were just coming out for warm-up. And he looked up, and I waved at him, and I saluted, and he saluted back. And I thought, I mean, that's the way the kid was, you know, for the whole time that he was there, and that's the way he played. You know, when they lost, you know, just the emotions of all of that just opened up on him. And I think when he got to the locker room, he said, it didn't hit me till I got in the locker room. Well, it hit him before he even walked off the court and hugged the coach. Yeah. But what a great player, and just, you know, that's what it's supposed to be all about, is kids like him. So happy that he had a great career, happy that he's going to get his jersey retired, and, you know, there's only going to be one champ when it's all over in a couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Kofi Coburn, by the way, does have a tendency to make people look smaller when he's out there.
He's just so massive. I mean, I saw a bunch of seven-footers, but for some reason he just looks longer to me, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and the mass, too. As I said to Dick Girardi, that when we do the games, I said, he's the biggest anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You can't move him. Can't move him.
No, you can't. Even when he was banging with Luka, he would, like, back in, and there would be no movement at all. It's like, okay, I guess I'm not moving it.
An interesting team that you saw firsthand as well is Florida State. When you looked at Florida State, obviously, they had a terrific year in the ACC. Pro and con, what did you see with them?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, they didn't play that well in the game I had. I know they're capable of playing really well. They kind of had too many breakups on the season. You know, they went a stretch where they were off 10 days. They came back and won 4 in a row. They were off 10 days. They came back 1-5 in a row. So they're really streaky. And then I couldn't tell because they played Colorado. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, we found out 40 minutes before the tip about the shooting in Boulder. And you can't tell me that the kids in the locker room from Colorado didn't know that. And, you know, that grocery store is literally about a mile and a half or 2 miles from campus. And I'm sure a lot of them were on their phones checking with their friends, make sure they were okay. They were never in it. And so it was just kind of a, you know, Steve Lavin said, you know, it's a rock fight. And I said, well, that's an insult to rock fights because it was really that ugly a game.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell because they didn't play very well. Colorado didn't play well at all. But they are one of those teams, I'll say this, they're a little bit like Oregon. All the guys are really long, and all of them just can run like crazy, and they play great defense. And for the most part, most of them can shoot, and they got a really good shooting performance out of their junior in that game, career high by far, you know, and so if they can shoot, they can play with anybody. And I didn't have Oregon because of the no contest with VCU, and that was going to be the third game of my day that day. And so, from, you know, I felt really bad for the kids from VCU. But I wished I could have seen Oregon in person, because when I did watch them play then on TV, I kind of thought, you know, they've been off since like March 10th or something, and I thought maybe they'll be rusty, maybe they won't look that good, all that kind of stuff. They were one of the most fun teams to watch. Now, they only had to play once to get where they are. I get it.
Right.
But those two teams are two teams that have a bunch of guys that are about 6'6 to 6'8 and can just fly. Now, Florida State does have a big guy, 7-footer, but you know, he opens, he starts the game, but he's not a factor, really. So those two kind of teams, they play full-court defense, and they run like crazy, and if you turn it over, they're going the other way faster than you can get back to cover and get to the basket. So that's what I think of those two teams.
Yeah, and then the other part of the tragedy is you talk about Colorado, which you're absolutely right. They had to have been thinking about all of this because the news was breaking so fast. And it turned out you had Oscar Freyer's last game at Grand Canyon. Ironically, I had the second game of his career here. I mean, it's awful
really?
To hear a story like that. I had the second game of his career, which was his first ever double-figure game. You ended up with his last game, which is just so tragic.
It was. My wife and I just got done going for a walk, and when you said that, the hair on my arm just kind of came up because I was thinking about it myself, but I hadn't told her. And I said, hey, you know, one of the kids of the game I did, I said, you remember the Grand Canyon game? And she said, that's the one with the crazy fans in purple and white. And I said, yeah. You know, that's how she judges things. I said, one of the kids that, you know, I had in that game that was a starter, and I probably called his name 25 times between assists, rebounds, points, whatever. I said he died in a car accident. And she was, like, just shaking. You know, she's like, oh, yeah. Man. You know, she said, you know, you get to see these kids and whatever, and then 2 or 3 days later, they're not around anymore. And he had just written, you know, a great Twitter or whatever to the fans that, you know, his heart will ever forever be purple, and thanks to Grand Canyon and everybody in the Arizona area for 5 great years. I mean, that kind of kid, you know, not that any kid that you lose isn't something, but, you know, he seemed like a pretty special guy and played a really good game. And then to lose his life and his, I think it was his sister and somebody else who was with him, just awful.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it was, I had to deal with the Colorado thing before we even tipped off, which is hard to do, and you know this kind of stuff. It's not easy when you're a play-by-play guy, stupid play-by-play guy, put it that way. I'm talking about you, not me. No, I'm kidding. when all you're planning on doing, you know, you've studied for a week these teams, and all you're planning on doing is calling ball, and all of a sudden you have to come on and tell folks, you know, there's been a shooting in Colorado. I mean, I'm not a news guy. I'm not Dan Rather or something, you know, like when he used to have to break in during the Iraqi war and all that. So to start one game that way and then to end my week with, you know, Oscar Freyer passing away kind of takes the fun out of the whole deal. That's for darn sure.
On the fun part, though, how fun was it to watch the Eastern Washington brothers play? I mean,
that was a blast. You know, one guy looks like Napoleon Dynamite, and the other guy, the truck team. And I just made mention that he looked like a shorter Bill Walton, and within 5 minutes, the guys in the truck had a comparison of the two next to each other with the red hair, the beard, and the headband and everything. I mean, he doesn't look like he's going to be able to play, neither one of them. You know, they just don't give you that impression like, wow, these guys are real players. And they were awesome. I think they scored 58 or 59 between the two of them, and yeah, that would have been probably my highlight, the Groves boys just going off. Even though they lost the game, they gave us some thrills anyway.
Yeah, they sure did. And they played Kansas in that game, and they gave Kansas a run for a long time. I don't know how much Zoom time you had with coaches. If you did, you know, you talked to Leonard Hamilton of Florida State, Bill Self at Kansas. What did the stops and starts of COVID mean to their organization, their season, how their players bounce back? Did they ever give you a read on that?
Yeah, it just raised havoc on everybody we talked to. Dana Altman, just about every coach we talked to, Fran McCaffrey. We did that with everybody. And, you know, it was kind of like my opening question. I'm like, you know, we just talk small talk for a while and then go, okay, let's start. And then I go, all right, coach, like what I used to have to say to football coaches is, who's hurt? And I said, you know, who has tested positive, or do you have, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that became kind of the opening salvo with every coach we talked to, and then you went from there. And it was just unbelievable. All those teams, you know, just had to put pieces back together. And then if you lose a player to injury, to real injury, not to COVID, to a real injury, then you're starting all over again. It's almost like you're starting back in October, and you go, okay, I've got to change the game plan. And, you know, Bill Self was behind the eight ball to start with, because he didn't have, you know, McCormick did show up on Friday and played, but he didn't have two other guys, one that would have been a starter and one that would have seen significant minutes. So he never had a full boat of players. And, you know, Bill's pretty cool when you talk to him. And he's like,
yes, he is.
Said, he's like, Ness, you know what? We weren't that good when we had everybody. I love coaches. It's really good. He's like, you know, we had, I mean, you know, we did pretty good in our conference. Baylor was the cream of our conference, and we actually beat them. But he said, we were losing games and losing confidence. They got up to third in the country. You know, they were 8-1. And then they lost 6 of their next 10, and they just almost tanked. And he said, I was scared I lost the team, and I don't ever worry about that. But he said, COVID kicked everybody's butt so bad that I didn't know if I could get the kids back. And then I think it was a home game against Texas Tech. He said, we, you know, battened down the hatches on defense, and our defense became offense, and we kind of got a swagger back. And then from that point on, you know, they won 7 of 8 before, you know, they had to bail out of the conference tournament because of the positive test. But everything was a roller coaster. I mean, that's whoever comes out of this, kind of like we said during football season, you know, some people would say, well, it's a different year. Nobody played the equal amount of games in football, and so will it be a real national champion? And I was kind of the opposite. I was like, if you can get through this BS, you should be a champion. And the same thing with basketball, man. You come through all this crap, and you make the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, win the thing. you're a really good team, and you have a really good coach, because a lot of it is mental, and a lot of it is, you know, not being able to practice and being able to keep your team afloat and you know, keep them invested and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Mark Few and some of these guys that, well, they got a perfect record. I don't know if they can keep a perfect record. They're really good. But they've done a hell of a job. All the coaches that got to the tourney, and Fran McCaffrey said it best. But, you know, we're talking about this team, that team. He's like, hey, man, if you're in the field, you're a good team. And if you're in the field, you can beat somebody, because it's not a best-of-7 series. You just go out and you put two good halves together and you can upset somebody. And we're finding that out from Oral Roberts, Loyola Chicago, the whole Pac-12 for the most part. I mean, talk about being underseeded. My gosh. So it's been interesting, but it's been disjointed, and it's been hard on the coaches, the players, and everybody involved.
Finally, what were the protocols for you and the crew?
Well, I didn't see them much. You know, we were pretty much locked down in our rooms. We had to, you know, do the same kind of thing, get food delivered. We had to test every 3 days. We had to test before we left and test as soon as we got there. And then you're on a 3-day interval. So I tested 3 times in the past week and a half or something like that. I got my first shot yesterday. I'm pretty excited, man.
There you go.
I finally found an appointment. But, yeah, it was strange. We didn't have our normal meetings, you know, in between games. Everything was on Zoom. And, you know, saw my producer like twice and gave him a fist bump in the parking lot. It's just pretty strange. But, you know, like when we had our seminar, Raph asked the bosses, he said, what about whining and dining? And somebody said, Raph's not worried so much about the dining. He's worried about the whining. So Indy's a great place to go out, and they have some great places, and you can walk everywhere. And I'm sure some of the fans partook in that, but I didn't see the inside of a bar or a restaurant the whole time I was there. So that's why happy hour is now coming up in 1 hour and 10 minutes.
I was just about to close that way. You stole my clothes. I was going to say yes, and we're now 1 hour and 10 away from closing time. We're on the same page. Thank you, my friend, so much. Always a pleasure.
Good to talk to you, buddy. Have a good rest of the tournament. I'll talk to you soon.